You're listening to the Known Legacy Podcast, brought to you by Known Legacy Ministries. For more information, go to knownlegacy.org. Now here's your hosts, Bill and Travis.
It's another great morning.
It is.
It's like 65 out right now, and we're going to hold on to this as long as we can because next week it's going to be 98.
Coming.
Yes, summer is a coming. But yeah, hey guys, thanks so much for checking us out, listening or watching. If you're watching us, hit that like button. If you listen to us, check us out at knownlegacy.org. Check us out on the Instagrams at Known Legacy or yep. Facebook, Known Legacy Ministries. We are so glad that you're a part of what we're doing and glad that you chose to stop by and put on your listening ears today.
And I have to say, Kyle, get well soon because I appreciate you more and more. If you don't know, I'm running point on the production today.
Yes, you are.
And Kyle had some surgery. He's doing great, but he is out. So if something goes wrong, cameras are messed up or the audio.
Blame Travis.
Grace. That's what I'm
going
to say.
We're going towards grace.
Grace.
Oh, so be gracious.
Yes.
It's one of those fruit of spirits.
So here's the opening question for us today.
Okay.
Because summer's right around the corner. And great movies, particularly in the 80s, and maybe even before, but that's when life starts for me.
Yes,
I was born.
Yes.
I'm a 70s child. Great movies and great songs or soundtracks.
Okay.
What is it just for you? So, like, for me, immediately, I was thinking Stand By Me, the movie, is a phenomenally great, defining movie for me.
Great movie.
We had railroad tracks not too far away from us, and my neighbors and I, we would go reenact this, and we'd, you know, sing this, "When the night has come," and we're singing the song, and we're these little kids, and we had nothing to worry about.
Yes.
Nothing. It was so, it's just transports me.
Remember
back.
The blueberry scene in that one? Like where they had the pie eating scene?
Yes. Yes.
So gross. It was so gross, but
it was
great movie score.
Great movie.
Great. Okay. So for me, it's a newer movie, but it's got a lot of older songs on the soundtrack. It's the last Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
When they start with Creep, and it's like an acoustic version. And then, all those songs from all three of those albums are so great because it's just so reminiscent to childhood. I mean, not that I'm from the 70s, but I mean, I'm not as old as you. No. I mean, I was born in 79, so I just got the tail end.
You're just a baby.
I don't remember much about Reaganomics or anything, and so I'm good. So, but I just think the whole deal of those songs are still so reminiscent to a sweeter moment in our history.
Yeah.
So, and we have a guest on today.
We do.
Who is a, I would say, music expert. And Mike Weaver from Big Daddy Weave, give it up for him. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. What is your album, my friend, or what is your song?
Dude, it's got to be, like, when I think of summer, I think of that whole, like, sequence in the first Karate Kid. You know, they're on the beach at different points.
Yes,
and they're like,
yes.
You know, and they're going to, like, the theme. There's, like, a little golf, like, kind of.
Yes, the putt-putt
like,
course.
Arcades and, like, putt-putt and all that stuff. And then this Bananarama song, Cruel Summer, is playing, and I'm going, like, dude. That is the essence of summer for me, you know?
So
you
good.
We got out of school, you feel like it's like we have been emancipated, you know what I mean?
We are
freed. And it's, you're right, dude, bro, and you said that, like, you know, you didn't have a care in the world. That's the thing I feel like that I miss the most. And I feel like I grew up in a great house, you know, because we didn't have a lot of drama. We had,
an
amazing mom and dad, you know? And it was like, and so when it came summertime, it was just like, man, I'm going with the flow. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. So follow-up question for us.
Okay.
Your summertime, like, I'm not talking about like picnic food, but like all I remember is there was those stupid wax bottles with little liquid that had like a drop of liquid in it.
They're amazing.
And that was for me for summer. Like the only time I would ever get it is summer.
Yeah,
and I just... I would not do one today, but man, just summer. What is it for you? What is it for you?
Those wax bottles were awesome. Time out. Because the wax bottles, because you could either drink it or you could chew it.
Chew it, yes.
And then you're like, you kind of, and it was the grossest thing as you chewed it. And then I would just throw it in the yard somewhere or whatever, and it would melt away. And
yes.
Whatever in you like likes that is the same thing that would chew on the end of your pen. You know, what I mean? Like that kind of thing. It's like
that part of
your brain that would prompt you to do that. It's the same place or whatever.
I think they call it ADD, but I don't know. I think that's what it was for me.
diagnosable, treatable.
Exactly. So if you chewed on your pen, it's like you're one of those like commercials. Do you chew on your pen?
Yeah.
We'll take this. Yeah.
Of course, I remember my pen. I have ADHD.
I would say my favorite were those. Okay, so those Tupperware, like you would fill them with juice or whatever, and you'd freeze them in your fridge.
Oh, homemade popsicles.
Oh, those homemade popsicles from Tupperware, like lemonade or whatever. I mean, I could eat like a billion of those every day.
Ice crystals were just different enough from the store bought that you knew it was homemade. Like, yeah,
but it was so good. And then the sugar would settle down to the bottom, and you that was it right there, Mike. What about you? Any summer foods,
bro? So for Big Daddy's, the answer is just yes. You know what I'm saying? whatever you have, it's like, yeah, I'd love one of those. Actually, maybe four.
Four.
In the summer, especially, man, because you remember the Sunny Delight commercials?
Yes.
He goes, what do we got? He says, that's some of that purple stuff, you know, all this good. They're weeding through the stuff in the fridge. Sunny D!
They got Sunny D!
Just because of the level of excitement those kids were bringing, I was like, we got to have this
marble. Gotta have Sunny D.
Got to have it. So she got it, and that also, it turns out, it's the source of type 2 diabetes. Who knew that? It's like, if you drink enough Sunny D, the reward, the prize that you get at the drinking contest prize. Is type 2 diabetes.
That's diabetes.
It's a one-up on the cereal company when they put that little prize in the bottom of the cereal, which is shocking that they would do that, choking hazard and everything else. But Sunny D, no, you get a prize that'll last a lifetime.
It'll last a lifetime.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Right. You can get a shot every 2 weeks for the rest of your life.
Oh, my gosh.
This is awesome. Hey, this has been a good day. Well, hey, thanks for being on the podcast, Mike. We're done.
That's awesome, man. Well, praise the Lord. Let me pray us out.
Exactly.
Lord, we just thank you for Sunny D. We just thank you, God, for blood sugar levels.
And wax candy.
Heaven is a reality. Heaven is a reality.
Heaven is a reality.
Right, we're going to be with you one day. That's right.
And we get our toes and our feet back.
I mean, I've heard heaven changes everything, but that's just what I've heard, Mike. I don't know.
I'm telling you, dude, this is all so real. Laughing about it out is good, dude. It's good to laugh about it.
Laughter
is a medicine, man. It's beautiful, dude.
It is good, man. Well, you know, speaking of laughter, you know, as we talked about it, there's moments of laughter, there's moments of joy. And the last time that you were on, we talked about your brother sharing some cool things and how he shared that, man, he was going to make this shirt sometime.
Episode.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
Go back and listen. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen. That was a fantastic episode.
Yeah, so take a moment, listen to Mike and his heart, but also he shared about his brother and how his brother wanted to make a shirt that said sheep bite. And I was like, we are going to talk about that again. And so, Mike, I'd love you to share a little bit about where that came from. You know, as you were having conversation with him and all that, and as we've had conversations, share a little bit about the inspiration behind something like that.
You know, it really came from us talking about the different sides of church hurt. And as much as, you know, the church exists to help and to win people to Jesus, we're a bunch of flawed individuals, aren't we? You know, and because of that,
yeah,
hurt happens on all kinds of sides. Really, it kind of goes back first to my dad, man. We had my brother Jay and I had the most extraordinary dad. Russ Weaver, man, he was not a man of many words, but when he would share, they were worth hearing, you know?
Yeah,
So I guess shortly after I was born, and man, you're talking about growing up in the 70s. So you are my wife's age, 1979, Bill. You're my wife's age. But I was born in 1976, the bicentennial baby. Shortly after I was born, man, my dad began having a real life encounter with Jesus. He had grown up around church. Had kind of like seen how people were sort of judgmental in church, you know, but then seeing how that differed from the way that they lived their lives, you know. And he was kind of like, listen, man, I don't know that I need any of this, you know. He goes, I think I might be a step ahead of all of you, you know. And I'm not even mildly religious here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, man, when he began having this encounter with Jesus and knowing that there was more in God, you know, he was looking for a church. My family moved from Michigan, where I was born, back to closer to where their family was from, in Alabama, kind of the Ozark, Alabama, Dothan, Alabama, in the middle of nowhere, like tiny little town, Alabama. So we moved to Pensacola, Florida with my dad's job. He was worked for civil service and worked on old computers, old mainframe computers, like kind of as it was starting to happen over on the Navy base in Pensacola. And yep. So as he's pursuing the Lord, he starts asking Jesus where he wants us to go to church, right? And so at one point in this, between Gulf Breeze, Florida, and little Navarre, Florida, is this little area that was a no man's land called Midway. And so one day, as Dad's driving down Highway 98 in the panhandle of Florida, he sees this tiny little church. I mean, this little nothing of a church. And Jesus tells him, pull over. This is where I want you to go to church. And we were there for 20 plus years, probably 28 years or so. And, you know, and my dad was never a minister, like from the pulpit. But he then served at that little church who these little old ladies had been praying the doors open, you know, after it was literally supposed to have closed like multiple times. And our family was kind of like one of several that were like kind of the new blood in the church.
Yes. You know, yep.
At that time.
Yeah.
And it was like, and so then life began to happen in this church again. And then that is sort of the backdrop of my life growing up. It was one of the most encouraging places ever, right? People believing in us as kids, but it was also the place where we saw like the backside of church also. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so my dad, having the heart of a servant, working all week long, but then spending so much time at church, just filling whatever kind of roles were needed, man, just provided an interesting vantage point, you know, church is like all of it, you know, which I mean, we understand that we're part of the body of Jesus, the greater body of Jesus. Thank God, man. I mean, praise the Lord. But also we see the very human broken side of the people that make up church. We used to sing this little song when we were in church, you know, that, you know, church is, I'm the church, you're the church, we're the church together. You know, it's like, it's not about this building. Like we're the church, the people are the church. And so, man, there's this, you know, beautiful feeling that happens in my heart towards that. But then I saw all of the things that happened behind the scenes at church, too.
Yeah.
Which look very different than, you know, that beautiful feeling that was in my heart, you know.
Yep.
So my dad, I never in my life heard him ever raise his voice. I mean, there was a couple of times like it was, you know, sudden. He was like, Michael, you know, and like you knew right then you better shut up and you better.
Full name.
You know.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like he doesn't have to do it. You know, he just has to kind of almost just look, you know, like I said, he doesn't talk. He didn't talk a lot, but it's like, the only time I ever heard my dad raise his voice to the level that I was literally afraid of him was coming home from a church meeting.
Church meetings
being
are the worst.
On these, wow. These different boards in church, you know, that he was on some kind of committee or whatever. And I remember already kind of, it was past my bedtime. I was in bed and I heard him talking with my mom, and he was not yelling at my mom. He was yelling because of what he encountered in the meeting, you know, which is all of this stuff of people trying to get their own way and having all these agendas and things like that. And then trying to put a Jesus like sticker on it, you know, and it was happening from both sides. It was happening from, you know, the pastor had his idea and he was trying to go this way. And then there were these like key, like giving families in the church. Right.
Yeah.
And they were, dude, are there like balloons just like going up like right
do
now?
Do you have a MacBook?
I do.
Yeah. There's a lens on the camera. If you do two rocking symbols, do two rocking symbols like this. And see what happens. Cause we're going to, oh, come on.
I gave the air quotes and it did it, man. And I thought I was hallucinating.
I was like, where'd the balloons come from?
I'm like, sorry. Anyways, praise God, we're going to celebrate church hurt, you know, right now.
Exactly.
Your dad's all mad and there's balloons floating by. It was perfect timing.
Yeah, and And that's when we threw a party. That's exactly right. It's like, I could see it like it's yesterday floating up.
Oh, my goodness. The ice cream cake from Dairy Queen. It was wonderful.
So yeah,
bro, I'll be right back. There's a Dairy Queen near my house. I'm going to have that for us. Because after the whole cake, the balloons, I have to have ice cream cake.
There's balloons. There's got to be cake.
It's around here somewhere. That's exactly right.
Well, man, right. You know, it's interesting you bring it up because you talked about that he had raised his voice. He was frustrated, and it is interesting when there's this whole, basically, I'd say like collision of both sides that appear to be right, and it's so hard to discern that. How did things end up for him with that? I mean, what was his, because you said 28 years, so I know it wasn't like year 27 and all these problems started. So like how did he walk through that with honor and with the fruit of the Spirit?
You know, my dad was a man of prayer, and I think that's where he took his problems, is he took it to his prayer closet. Like, There were times we'd look for my dad on a Saturday, you know, because that's he's off. It's the weekend. It's really his only day off, because then Sunday he would be busy all day helping with things at church, you know.
Yep.
And so Saturday we would look for him. Mom, where's dad? To find out that my dad was literally in his closet on his face.
Man of
God. He had made this place in his closet, dude, you know, and he was praying for us, and he was praying for the church, and he was praying through stuff that he was dealing with. And I think that's how he got through it. But what I noticed, though, is like, so towards the beginning of when he's volunteering at church, he's in all these big committees. Towards the end of his life, his last position he served in that church that was a lay position was the custodian.
And servant. So
he didn't have to deal with all the bull crap that was like going on in church. You know what I mean?
I would rather clean toilets than deal with these meetings.
I'm telling you, and that's when God kind of called us into Big Daddy Weave, because we were helping him, and I would literally keep a pad and paper on the water faucet, you know, on the water fountain, and I would, when I would get a song idea, I would come out, and that's, we had a song early on called Audience of One, and that was written while we were cleaning toilets with my dad, you know.
Wow. And Wow.
And that's why I think to deal with church hurt and to deal with everything else, deal with the not so great looking sides of ministry. I think the way that has sustained my dad and sustained me and Jay for so many years was just having to have. Jesus said this to me one day. He said, "If you have a heart for the one, you know, and then if you have a heart for the one that he'd leave the 99 for, then you won't be dissatisfied with ministry."
Oh, that
and the
preaches.
Lord has seen us through a lot of stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He really has, because we've seen so many disappointing things. And even as I'm talking about disappointment with like the little church that I grew up in, because man, for as much disappointment as I could talk about, man, there were a bazillion other things that I could celebrate, man. And so many people that I loved there, so many people that meant so much to my life. But we did, we saw the backside of that. But that's been that way in Big Daddy Weave too. You got these five dudes in Big Daddy Weave living in that close of proximity to each other. And man, we would disagree and we would fight and we would all these other things, you know? And it's like the way that we all stay in there, though, is like realizing Jesus is the one who called us into this, right?
Mm.
And then so we're answering to him, you know, not just the way we feel about it. And then also having a heart for the one that Jesus is looking for today, because they're always there. They're always going to be there in ministry, you know?
Yeah.
So let me ask this question. First off, my sister lives in Navarre Beach, so I'm so intrigued to know what church you're talking about, but we'll talk about that offline. So let's say you have a chance, you're on the road, you're doing some gigs, and you have a backstage moment with someone who's coming in and has just been hurt by the church, because the church is made up of fallen people with their own agendas, and we forget that this is a spiritual endeavor, not a material endeavor, and so we treat it like Excel spreadsheets and budget meetings and agendas instead of just saying, we're going to pray this entire meeting and see what God reveals to us. What would you say to that guy or that couple or that family that's just coming in, man, you know, your music feeds us, but we can't find a home because we've just been hurt by the church? What would you say to them? How would you encourage them?
Yeah. When you see something that's discouraging about church or somebody hurts you, try to guess that, first of all, it was an accident, and then realize that's
assume the
not
best.
Jesus.
Right.
It's not Jesus. Yeah, that there is every person in church is just as messed up as you are and has the, you know, the ability, the capability, the propensity, or however you want to say it, like to really, you know, mess something up, you know, that we all are desperately in need of God's grace. But there is, but for leaders, there's a higher standard, you know? But we get hurt in all kinds of ways in church. We get helped in all kinds of ways in church. It's this beautiful mess, you know? Yes, but I think that sometimes our assumption is like, well, these are God's people, so they need to be the ones who, and really, honestly, we do need to be the ones who are carrying him different. But we're all still growing. We're all still in process. You know what I mean? And so it's like we gotta have grace with each other, you know?
I love that. So I love you talked about that whole idea of like the hurt thing, and I love the idea of prayer. So you've got, I mean, let's say there's people out there that are just struggling with, man, I don't know who's right or who's wrong, you know, after the prayer, after that. I mean, is it just like, what would you suggest for them to do? Like, okay, so I'm going to get on my face, and what else can I do? I've got prayer, I'm on my face, but what is something they can do to be supportive of the church in the midst of, like what is something your dad did? Let's use that example, that in the midst of that hurt, after that big conversation with your mom, and I'm maybe peeling back the curtain, but what did he do the next day, or what did he do the next month? Because it sounds like he was honorable.
Yes.
So
he went back in there. He served his entire term.
He didn't give up.
You know, on those boards, he did not give up. He also didn't back down from what it was that he was believing in, but he would treat those people with kindness. You know.
Yeah,
I saw another time in Big Daddy Weave. There was a man. It was during the greatest season of miracles that we saw in Big Daddy Weave. We just saw Jesus moving, and I don't know how you guys feel about this, because there's not everybody believes this, but I believe that Jesus, as per Jesus, you know, his own words, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
And so when you see Jesus throughout the Bible, when you see God throughout the Bible, that's the same God that we're dealing with today. That's the same God that we've been invited into relationship with. And so there was a season when we just began to see through times of prayer. And I believe my dad prayed this stuff in there. He didn't even know, but he was praying for hours, you know. And but then years later, I believe we drink from wells that we didn't dig. You know what I mean? We're the recipients of those things that he prayed. We saw God moving in a powerful way, just doing the miraculous every single day. There was one guy who was in our operation. He was on our payroll, you know what I mean? To be out there, and he did not believe that those gifts existed anymore, that the miracles existed anymore. Hmm. And he basically was kind of like, you know, kind of scoffing at the entire thing, even though it was happening like 50 feet from where he was working every night.
Right.
And man, I remember I was ready to let him have it. And I was ready to just... You know, because I mean, technically we're like his boss or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But my brother Jay, he operated in a completely different way, man. And he actually paid a huge portion of that guy's Bible school bill to send him to Bible school.
Wow.
He didn't, you know, it was, we never had to agree with him, but we also, Jay showed me we didn't have to be enemies, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because I mean, we got no legacy. Yeah. So say you'd experience something that's unfavorable in church, and then you feel like, well, now I'm really gonna, there's this, that's a worldly response, because Jesus said love your enemies.
Right.
These dudes and girls are not your enemies. Even these are supposed to be your brothers and sisters.
Yeah absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
And our response is, as people who've been hurt or whatever we're going through in this situation, it's Jesus says, like, you know, look, if you don't love your brother, if you have hatred in your heart towards your brother, like, you don't know God.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you can't know God and hate your brother. Right.
And I think
that doesn't mean we're not frustrated. That doesn't mean we don't experience the things that hurt. But our response is what we have control over. And I watched my dad and my brother respond with the kindness of God. Notice I'm not really grouping myself into many of those scenarios. because I I might show up as Mike, and that is not the fruit of the spirit, dude. You know what
I get it.
That's going to be something worth apologizing for, like later. You know, if I tell you what I think about it. You know, it's like,
yeah. And I think you know Jesus had these 12 guys that they journeyed with for 3 years, and you know that there's a whole host of conversations that happen that were not written down. And then there were a handful that were where the disciples come up and like, hey, Jesus, when you get into power, can I be on your right and your left? Forget the other 10 guys.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I just want to be on your right and your left. And my mom, I'll bring in my mom to make sure you know that I should be on the right and left, right?
Exactly.
And then Jesus in 18, yeah. Matthew 18, he's like, hey, listen, here's the deal. If you're having a big problem, like big board problem, go small. Talk to the one person that you're having the issue with.
Yeah.
Right? And whether he's sinned against you or there's pressure or there's tension in that relationship, go to that one person and invest in understanding where they're coming from with a heart of grace and mercy. Yeah. And if you can't resolve it, then bring in another person who can help you, you know, take the tension away from the two of you and actually give insights into where you're both right and where you're both wrong.
Yeah.
With the heart of saying, restore the relationship, because the church is made up of broken people. But I think sometimes we have, particularly in our consumeristic culture, our idol is comfort, and messy relationships are not comfortable. So we'll just leave. And we miss the very refining fire that God is bringing forth in this relationship to say, no, I don't want you to leave. I want you to invest in this to experience grace and forgiveness and forgive, you know, and experience that on both sides, receiving it and giving it so that that relationship may be stronger. Sorry, that's my soapbox.
Dude, I'm telling you. No, this is so good, bro. This is so good because, and this is literally so recent for me. And Big Daddy Weave, like I was saying, has kind of in some ways functioned like a church. We've been together for 25 years. When my brother Jay passed, man, I recently literally was just about to have to leave because it just hurt to be where he was and where he's not currently.
Yep.
And it drummed up a bunch of things from like years of this. And so I was like, dude, I got to leave. It's killing me. And I shared this with the other guys, and the other guys are kind of like, dude, we don't think you're supposed to leave. We don't think this is supposed to be over. And then it sort of in those conversations, it drummed up some things that we had never really dealt with among us. Mm. And so we needed to call for that help, just like you were talking about. And so, of course, who would we call? The Brad Fogarty, right? And so,
there it is.
Brad.
You know, Brad Fogarty is a mentor to Big Daddy Weave, and he is, you know, he's also one of the busiest guys that I know currently.
Like, yes, he is.
Helping shoot seasons of The Chosen and get actors from point A to point B.
Yep.
He's raising kids. They're going to be baseball stars and all this kind of stuff. And so we call Fog. Actually, I didn't call Fog. My wife was telling me we needed to call Brad Fogarty right then. And I said, I'm not doing it. I'm not calling anybody. Is what I told her. I said,
I am not calling that man. That fruit of the spirit of stubbornness.
This is the part where Mike shows up. We were talking about, I'm just telling on myself, though. But if God could take, the messed upness of me and somehow save some other people some steps, man, that'd be a wonderful thing to share, wouldn't it? We don't need to cover that up. We need to say, we need to tell on ourselves about this business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I'm just mad. And I'm like, well, somebody else is going to have to hear Jesus this time. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, whenever I get self-righteous about crap, I start thinking I'm the only person who ever heard God and ever had
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And I'm like, and the rest of y'all, forget all the rest of y'all. And it's like, you know. And so in the meantime, though, our guitar player, Jeremy, calls Brad, you know.
Jeremy.
And so he calls and he goes, man, what if we get together with Fog and we talk with him? And I just knew it was the Lord. I was like, yeah, I'm an idiot, you know? And so we get together, and I mean, and none of them are trying to hurt me, and none of them are trying, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody else. We're all just trying to see where we're at. And we get together though, man. And Fog knows all of us from spending about 7 years on the road with us. He knows all of like the nuances of our weird, you know, idiosyncrasies. And so we like one by one just like addressed things that had happened.
Yeah.
And as we said it, and then Fog was like, well, that was the worst way you could possibly ever say that. You know what I mean? It's like, but what he means is this. And he would like, he literally, because he had that.
He was your interpreter.
He was that, that part, exactly, dude. And he was the interpreter, not just for one of us. He was the interpreter for like all of us.
Because he knew
and
your hearts.
So, he really did, man. Wow. And it was so valuable. But if you're not willing to go to that place, then you're never going to receive right. that help. Dude, the next runs after that on tour, man, it was like new again in a way. Wow. You know, I still, to be honest with you, I still kind of want to quit. You know,
yeah,
just because it hurts. But that's a selfish thing. You know, it's a thing because I'm just like I sort of want to run away from what hurts. You know what I mean?
I will tell
but
you
the
this.
Lord is saying, we need to stay and we need to face what hurts with Him. You know?
Yes.
And then even like we're doing right now, even us just sharing about it, even me just sharing about it is the opportunity for God to use it in someone else's life too. You know,
so, I'll tell you. So I'm journeying through some stuff in my life and having to walk through some things. And it's been interesting because God's put me in this perspective with prayer, with reconciliation to go, there's going to be a moment you're going to stand in front of me. You know, I'm going to stand in front of the Father, and he has two options. Either he's going to say, you didn't do that good, or he's going to say, well done. And I think if my goal at the end is I want to hear well done, there might be a hint of selfishness in that, of going, God, I want you to say well done in my life, so I'm going to deal with that jerk back there. No, I'm just kidding. But I want to have that heart. And so I think today, even what you're saying matters. And I will tell you this, and this is the props to you guys. So there, I have this song list of certain songs that I listen to all the time, and Redeemed and Overwhelmed are on that when I'm discouraged.
Mm.
And I think because most people don't articulate the music like you do. There's an anointing on yours. I'm just going to say that in front of our listeners and people, but there's an anointing on that I love that you pour that brokenness out. That's part of why I wanted to get you on here, because I think there's a lot of people who struggle to be authentic in these moments, and they're like, and they'll continue to pray, but they'll pray with like a shell between them and the Father, or they'll pray with brokenness between them and somebody else, and they'll hope that God will just kind of subvert that and just say, okay, well, you can keep working. He's like, no, I'm going to bring you back to it. And so I love these honest moments, because I do feel like there's those moments to go, God, I don't know how to approach the situation, but can you let that just show up on my radar? Can you have somebody else make the phone call to Brad, or can you have somebody else do it? Because I don't have the strength. It's almost like the same thing as when the Spirit prays for you. It's like, I know you don't want to do this, but I'm going to have someone else do this in your stead, because He is our strength and our source of hope. And so I love what we're talking about today, this idea of restoration, this idea of just, you know, this idea. You know, I was looking up John 13, 34 and 35. It says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And so, man, that's not a fluffy love. That's a dang it, I can't stand you, but I'm going to love you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the struggle with the American church, definitely. You know, I know that we have friends who are from the underground church in China, and they chose to leave their families and just pursue their church family. They had to leave China. They will never see their biological family again. But this 64, I think they're like 67 people now. They keep having babies.
Yeah.
And so they keep creating more and more in this church. But this church has decided to escape all this religious persecution and be a one single church body in another country. They're in America now, and they have decided that they want to love each other the way that Christ loves the church.
Wow.
And I'm going, I have so much to learn. So even when I have these conversations, I'm like, I have so much to learn about prayer. So Mike, this has been super beneficial and a blessing to myself.
And I think for me, the two words that keep coming up, and I think your dad, again, Mike, was a great example of this, is pride demands that I'm right and others bow. Mm. And humility I will serve even if it costs everything. Mm. I will serve.
Man, yes.
And I think that's what your dad lived out in spades. I think that's what Big Daddy Weave brings forth. And I think that's the battle. I mean, last night we had a board meeting and my pride was big. And this morning I'm humbled going, man, I need to, humility, man.
Yeah, thanks
humility.
For smacking me. I just wanted to have you on the podcast. I didn't need you to beat me up, okay?
Bro, dude, so two things, man. you know, my friend Nate was my college roommate. He's my best friend, and he's been with me in every kind of season. And in the midst of me being bent out of shape about, you know, whatever scenario, at one point he said to me, he's like, you know, we want to know who's right. He said, but the question is not who is right. The question is what is right.
Oh, you know,
we need to hear that. And we need to, each side needs to be corrected by what is right. You know what I mean? And the other thing is, I just wanted to just share one more thing, because I don't know if there's some people in this same category, but when we were in pandemic, like, people see us on stage and they see me in a different setting where I'm relating to people and I'm sharing with people. And it seems like I might be like cool with being sort of this extroverted kind of thing. And that is not how I am. I am like somebody who would never leave the house if it was okay to do that, you know? And so when everybody else was really freaking out over pandemic, I was having this secret party because I was just living my best life.
I can stay in my pajamas.
I was like, I only ever wear my pajamas anyway. People think that's like, I wear the same thing everywhere I go, every single day, everywhere. And so the thing is that when we went back to church after it started to loosen back up, that freaked me out worse than anything. You know, it was like, it felt like the entire world was shouting at me somehow. It was the weirdest thing. Like, I shy away from crowds because of that. But so when you're wounded in church somehow, man, the enemy uses that information that you have from that to give you a reason to isolate yourself sometimes.
Yep. Yep.
But we were not designed for isolation. That's why it is called the body of Christ. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's
yeah.
He wants us to operate in oneness, and not in oneness, like, you know, by ourselves, but together. And so be called into that and be encouraged into that and go into it, you know, with your eyes wide open, realizing that people are gonna, that sheep bite, dude. That's the thing. My brother was like, we had been through so many weird things in not only our church, because our church was really a pretty great church, but we had these moments of seeing the backside of it. But in 25 years of traveling the country and hearing why Sister So-and-so won't let you move the organ or whatever, or move something off the stage or whatever, you just see the very best in people sometimes, you know, and then here come the balloons again. But anyway, but so it's like, that's where Jay said that. He's like, dude, you just got to know that it's like sheep got teeth, dude. You know what I mean? And it's like, and he's like, we never did make the t-shirt, but he said, dude, we need to make the t-shirt that just says sheep bite on the back, and he's gonna be like, take that however you want to, or whatever, you know.
I love it,
because it's like, we just, it's the reality of our humanity, you know. And it's like, it's not an excuse for it, you know. There is no excuse, because we're called to grow up into Jesus, right?
Yeah.
It's like, but it's like, we have to suffer each other. I heard Peter Lord say this one time. He said the call to ministry is a call to suffer people.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And that, like, we have to have thicker skin than that, because Jesus left absolute divinity, you know, his surroundings of heaven, and came to our messed upness. And that's the method that he's going to, like, you know, create, you know, turn us into him by the process of sanctification. A lot of that has to do with suffering one another, you know.
Love those darn people.
Hey, Mike, I'm going to speak for Bill on this one. I love talking to you and hanging out. So if you and the boys and the band and whoever else is in DFW and you need just a break from the bus and you need a break from whatever crap food they serve you, we would love, man, just come over to the house. I'll have some briskets for you.
Yeah, we'll cook.
I'll have some great food, and you can just say nothing. You could be alone, and you could just relax and have a breath of just peace in the midst of the chaos, because
that's awesome.
I'm filled every time I talk to you. I'm filled every time.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, there's an anointing, and I love it. I mean, your heart is so authentic and real. And man, I think this was a good subject to talk about as we continue this idea of kind of hurt and how to reconcile, because it's not just, hey, they hurt me. It's, what do I do about it? Like, you know, again, I keep going back to that one old adage. You know, life is, you know, 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react.
Yep.
And we that's such a good word. Yeah.
But we want to react like how Jesus would react. You know, and even as the sheep to the shearers is dumb, as he opened not his mouth, in this idea of how do I love in a way that I want to open my mouth about 90% of the time when I should probably keep it closed.
Yes.
You know, and so,
yeah.
But man, this was rich. This was solid. So, hey, before we move into our next session, any last thoughts from you as we're talking to those who've been bitten by those sheep?
Dude, man, you know, I just, yeah, it, I think it's it. It's just love. That's, you know, we when you're in a ministry setting, for me, it's about, you know, getting to the ministry part for them, for everybody else. It's getting to that thing. And that's why it's like I would even kind of stay mad at people in churches that we were in, or I would stay mad at, you know, my brothers in Big Daddy. We thinking that somehow I had the loftier goal of like really ministering to somebody. Mm. But then when you read the love chapter, and it's like, I could do all these things, and it makes a great big list. He's like, but without love, I'm just noise.
Wow.
You know? And so yeah. that thing is, that's above everything else, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's,
you know,
good.
Love expressing itself through love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There's not a freak out moment in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's right. All those middle ones kill us too. Goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, right? Those ones, it's love expressing itself in like in the way that we deal with each other, you know? And wow. I got to tell you, I got a long way to grow, you know, but I love that his love gives me the chance to grow. He doesn't give up on us.
Yes.
So we can't give up on each other either. We got to grow through this, you know?
That's a great way to end it, man. That's a mic drop. Man, thank you so much. Hey, before we close out on here, we have a couple of questions for you. We'd love to ask you, called our Fast Five. Yeah,
I don't have the. It's okay. That was the sound effect.
That was great. That was good. We have our Fast Five.
I would do the balloon thing again if I could. I got it. It didn't work again, though. I don't know what it was. It was incredible. That was the top five moments of my life. Seeing the balloons go off.
The balloons come up. Now we're like going to give some, our Carvel cake. Okay, wait. Another quick question. Ice cream cake or regular cake? Really quick. That's not even on the Fast Five. Ice cream cake or regular cake?
Yes. The answer is yes, dude. The answer is always cake, dude. It's like,
hallelujah. That is what worship tastes like, just so you know.
Come on, cake, dude. Ice cream cake, and then cake on top. Oh. It's fantastic.
And then some coffee at the end. Oh, man. Mike, that's why I love you.
For you to dunk your cake in, that's it.
Exactly, that's it.
Diabetes, it's a friend that'll never leave. Diabetes.
Oh, gosh, I have a friend
Here's
in
to
diabetes.
It's like, diabetes. It's like,
diabetes.
That sweet mustache.
Man, I'm sorry. Wilford Brimley. It looked like Wilford was going to fall asleep when he would say that. They're like, just stand here, and you have 5 minutes. And he'd be like, you can get your Lancer. I'm like, wait a minute, time out. Like, we're still recording. You're getting paid for this. Okay, on to our questions. Okay,
Fast Five.
Fast Five. Okay, so who do you admire most?
Oh, man, I've said it already. It's my dad, dude. It's, you know, and my dad, you know, in heaven now. And then my wife on earth, you know, the one who's still with us. My wife has become the, the replacement of my dad, or whatever.
I get that.
Wisdom and such a grace, man. I love
that. I know. I roll over to him like, you married me. What is wrong with you? How did you choose me?
People see my wife and they go like, what, she married you? You're like, our atheists give their hearts to the Lord.
There's hope. There's hope.
God is so real. You can walk on water. You can part a sea. You can do like, literally, like, God is real. Like,
miracles happen. Oh, man. Okay, number two. Who would you like to, or where would you like to take your family on a vacation?
Ooh, good one.
You know, as per them, they say Hawaii. That's the last state that they have not been to yet. So.
Okay.
So any Hawaii listeners out there, if you want to have Big Daddy Weave out there, by all means, they're more than willing to make that date.
I'm going to learn how to do the balloon trick in real life if you say we can come to Hawaii. It's awesome.
Oh, gosh.
Oahu Weavy. So, yeah, we could try to figure something out. There you go. Wahoo Weavy or something. We'll try that. We'll do a little concert. It'll be good. So, all right. So, what are you currently reading, whether it's the Bible or a book? I mean, like a chapter in the Bible, or
it's a good one.
Are you reading a book?
Man, I'm back and forth between Philippians and James, actually. And I just want the James chapter about watch your mouth. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And then, that's. Oh man, I'm setting fires. You know what I'm saying?
That's like,
And then Philippians just seems like chock full to me of every other good verse. You know what I mean? It's like, where was that? Philippians? Dang,
yeah.
Philippians only four chapters. It is like stacked full. That's it.
Yes, it is.
That's the two for me right now. Yeah.
Nice. And any other books you're reading or no?
Mm, I kind of half read a lot of books, you know?
Okay. Okay.
There's a book by John Bevere though called The Bait of Satan, which is talking about even just what we were talking about, the spirit of offense. And like, if you, like, we latch on to the ministry of the accuser rather than, you know, Jesus full time, you know, he's intercessor, right?
Interesting. So, yeah. I got to check that one out. The Bait of Satan.
Mm-hmm. Really good. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is a goal for you this year?
You know, it's love, dude. I know it's a lofty one that sometimes I don't feel like I'm getting very far in. You know what I mean? But I think that's it. It has to be put in its right place to receive the love of God rightly, right?
Yeah.
And then to be to not be a dam of that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to let that continue through me. You know,
praise the Lord. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Love it.
And then what is the most important piece of advice you've ever been given?
Oh, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Do you know what I mean? I do not listen. He's thick-headed right here. In all your ways, I feel like it means know him intimately, right?
Yes.
Yes.
He'll make your path straight. And that is, I am a man, the implied crooked path. You know, I need my path straightened, man. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
So that's it, dude. Yeah.
I love it, man. Well, good stuff today. Thank you so much for sharing, Mike. Thanks for being on again. You guys can check out Big Daddy Weave at anywhere that you listen to music. Just look up Big Daddy Weave or BigDaddyWeave.com. I think it's a Big Daddy Weave. Right, just .com?
Yeah, .com, yeah.
.com. Yep. Okay, cool.
And what was that again, Bill?
.com. I don't know where it's. It's usually .org for us. And you can check out Known Legacy at knownlegacy.org. Oh, there. He went down. He went down for that one. So
I got music skills.
You got some music skills. Man, and we are so grateful to have you guys, to have you on today, brother. Thank you for your wisdom of sheep biting. And, man, stay on after we're done. But, Mike, thank you so much for being a part of our podcast today, guys. Check us out, info@knownlegacy. We'd love to hear from you. And look us up on Instagram @knownlegacy and Known Legacy Ministries on Facebook. We'd love to stay connected to you. Travis, any last thoughts?
God bless you guys.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Known Legacy Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. So email us your questions or comments to info@knownlegacy.org.